Going to lock up the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. Championship Sunday approaches. Second season in a row, third time over four. 49ers are in. They're at the link for the top-seeded Eagles. Our guest host of a terrific podcast called Locked On 49ers. On Twitter, follow along using the handle at BD Peacock. Brian Peacock joins us. Brian, great having you. How's life treating you at this glorious time of year?
Oh, man. Well, after about a month straight of rain and storms, the sun is out in California over here, and we're getting back to normal weather-wise, and I am so jacked up for some Championship Sunday football. It's the best atmosphere on the football calendar.
So as a debut guest, some personal background, each member of a fan base is from a specific generation. I'm old enough. I saw Joe Namath play for the Jets, John Brody for the Niners. So like we discussed in our pre-show communication, so who were the guys and the era that ruled when you first started following this franchise big time?
Well, first of all, you'll be proud of me because I drafted John Brody as my all-time quarterback on our Locked On 49ers, 49ers all-time player draft. And I had the third pick, and Young and Montana were gone, and I ended up with John Brody as my quarterback, and I felt pretty good about it. So love the history of the 49ers. But for me, it started in the late 80s, and it was not difficult to become a 49ers fan when they're going back-to-back in 1988 and 1989, and just how beautiful they played football with Montana to Rice. I mean, that's what I grew up on, and it was so easy. My first flag football team, I was the coach asked who knew what a quarterback even was, and I raised my hand, and I was the quarterback the rest of the year. I wanted to wear 16. The jersey numbers only went up to 15, so I wore number 15, and then in junior high, I went to number 42, so for the great Ronnie Lott. So those were my teams, late 80s, early 90s. And I didn't realize it wasn't going to be that easy every year winning the Super Bowl like it was early on in my childhood. So the 94 Super Bowl really meant a lot because went through some challenges there, and that's why the Cowboys rivalry still is the number one with the 49ers for me.
Well, I'm a Giants fan, so our mutual hate of the Cowboys is a more of a unifying factor, Brian. So
yeah.
I've got to ask you the hypothetical. So prior to opening day, if I told you or anybody told you, look, Trey Lance is going out after two starts. Jimmy G is going to take over, but he won't really be playing after Thanksgiving. And the guy they took with the 262nd pick in the draft will roll unbeaten to the NFC final. Would you have called 911? I mean, what do you think your reaction would have been?
I would have been extremely worried about your mental health if you tried to tell me that before the season started. And when Brock Purdy trotted on the field against the Miami Dolphins in Week 14 when Jimmy Garoppolo got hurt, the thought really was this better not be a bad injury for Jimmy Garoppolo because that probably means effectively the 49ers season's over and any hopes at all of going to a Super Bowl are out the window. And lo and behold, it has not been the case. Brock Purdy has been so good that, in fact, I think if he continues to play the way he has, and at this point I don't have a reason to believe that this is not the real guy that we've seen now for seven straight starts, the 49ers actually have a better chance at winning the Super Bowl than they did before, which is just bonkers to think that that's the place we're in right now.
Talking Niners with Brian Peacock, host of Locked On Niners, great podcast. And so let's get to late October. Elijah Mitchell was still out. The Panthers had thrown in the towel, and they made the Christian McCaffrey trade. It wasn't cheap. I mean, there were four draft picks. In turn, sent Jeff Wilson to Miami. But when you look back, just how much of a stroke of genius was that for John Lynch to add a lethal weapon like McCaffrey to bolster this arsenal?
Yeah, and I think there's two parts of that McCaffrey trade because obviously they put that on credit, so we'll see what ends up happening.
Right.
And they got McCaffrey to put them over the hump, and basically over the hump is winning against the Philadelphia Eagles this weekend. So, like, whatever happens the rest of McCaffrey's career, that trade is a win if they win on Sunday against the Philadelphia Eagles because it won't matter whatever those draft picks have become. But if they don't win, then you have to, it's easy to say, oh, it was a huge win, great trade by the 49ers, but this is a running back and attrition is high for that position. So you won't know what value Christian McCaffrey is going to bring in future seasons with the dollar amounts that are on his contract. But he's clearly a really good player, and they put that on their credit card, and they got a lot better now. And I think the key is fit. But it's just such a perfect player for Kyle Shanahan. And I wasn't surprised at all that Kyle Shanahan really liked Christian McCaffrey. And it's the same with Brock Purdy. It's just the fit. And I think that's why the offense has taken off the way it has. And they're scoring about 30 points per game, even with only scoring 19 points last week against the Cowboys. I mean, this offense is so hard to defend against. And adding another player like Christian McCaffrey, who's, you know, a two-headed monster in the run and pass game, it makes defenses have to play the 49ers straight up. And if you play the 49ers straight up, they've got an advantage somewhere. And that really plays into Kyle Shanahan's hand and the positionless football he likes to play.
You know, not a lot of people know one of the offseason hires by Coach Shanahan didn't make a lot of noise. I mean, the guy was known for leading Michigan to the 97 national title. Yeah. He was in the Monday Night Football booth. He'd never even been a coach. And then they hired Brian Griese to be the quarterback coach. I mean, obviously, you're aware of it. What about his impact that he's made, you know, as somebody who basically came from the broadcast booth to the coaching booth?
Yeah, and that was a bit of a head-scratcher because everyone knew who Brian Griese was, but it was like, well, he's never really coached. But generally, the broadcast booth is a lot cushier job than coaching, especially jumping in as a quarterback's coach in the NFL. So he's got more hours, and he's grinding tape all day long. But clearly he had a passion to be a coach if he's going to make that move from the broadcast booth, probably take a pay cut and work more hours. And so more power to Brian Griese. He knew what his calling was. And it's hard to know exactly how good assistant coaches are. But when you look at how prepared Brock Purdy is, and then you look at even how Jimmy G was playing some of his best football, really turning the ball over a lot less was the key for him under Brian Griese in his first year as quarterbacks coach. He's done a phenomenal job, best I can tell. And to be honest with you, after DeMeco Ryans gets one of those head coaching jobs this year, and it's looking like teams are starting to fight over him, you might see Brian Griese as that next guy in a couple of years that teams are trying to interview as a head coach, because that Shanahan tree is growing quite a bit and has a lot of limbs all over the league now.
Less pay, more hours. Brian, I got to tell you, at this point in my life, that's a no.
Yeah, it's a hard, hard no.
Talking with Brian Peacock, Locked On Niners podcast. So our show is on the flagship station of the Oregon Ducks. I got to ask you about the Amador Lenore. When Emmanuel Moseley went down with that torn ACL, he stepped in. At times it looked like he was getting picked on a little bit, certainly in the Raiders game. But now he's had a pick in both playoff games. What about his kind of hanging in there, finding his way, and how he's been playing lately?
Oh, I love the attitude. And you could tell that from his first day in training camp as a rookie last year with the 49ers. Is he's a competitive guy, and he was getting picked on. And clearly, the scouting report on the 49ers, there's not a lot of weaknesses. So you look at D'Amador Lenore and you think, well, our guys might be taller or faster or both than him. So that's where the targets are going to go. And he did get beat up a little bit for a couple of games. But as you mentioned, he was up to the challenge, and he made the Seahawks pay for throwing at him. He made the Cowboys pay for throwing at him. And I think you have to really credit his mental makeup and his competitiveness. And I love the way he's played out there, and he's turned himself into much less of a weak link. Now, it's hard because when you have such a good defense, the teams have to figure out where they want to go, and he's probably going to see a lot more targets this weekend. There's also really good receivers on the other side for the Philadelphia Eagles, but I've been super impressed by the way he's battled and come back from being someone that you were worried about to someone who I have a lot of confidence going into Sunday.
You know, when you've got a superstar quality like Nick Bosa, Fred Warner, an All-Pro, you mentioned DeMeco Ryans, a big-name coordinator, some guys fly under the radar. What could you tell us about, I'm going to call it a breakout performance this season, from a guy they took in the fifth round 4 years ago, Dre Greenlaw?
Oh, great. Yeah, Dre Greenlaw's, first of all, just flies around the field. I mean, he's a run-and-hit player. He's a little bit undersized, but he's really athletic, former safety at Arkansas, and really aggressive player. And sometimes teams can use that aggressiveness against him. Sometimes he'll maybe come in just a hair late. He's been penalized a few too many times, probably. But, man, he really completes that linebacker group for the 49ers with Fred Warner and the range that those guys have. There's no better linebacker group in the NFL, and it's pretty phenomenal to watch those guys fly around. And the whole defense is so aggressive from the line all the way back. And Dre Greenlaw is absolutely just a human missile most of the game. And it's so fun to watch Fred Warner and Dre Greenlaw run around in their unlimited range, make plays in the backfield, make plays in the passing game. It's phenomenal.
Couple final thoughts for Brian. Certainly a lot of talk about the Eagle offensive line, and it's legit. You know, the Niners have the bookend tackles and Trent Williams, Mike McGlinchey. But entering this year, in essence, three new starters at center, a rookie at one guard, Spencer Burford, Aaron Banks, second-round pick last year. I think it's fair to say it's been a seasonal work at in progress. How do you think this group has gelled and come together right now?
Right, and even Mike McGlinchey, who's been, you know, in the lineup for a long time for the 49ers, was coming off a really nasty torn quad injury, and sometimes that's an injury the guys just can't come back from. And he was limping around a little bit to start the season, and he's really come into his own later in the year. And I've got to point to, we talked about an assistant in quarterbacks coach, Brian Greasy. I got to talk about the offensive line coach in Chris Forster, who, you know, if people remember, made some headlines when he left the Miami Dolphins a few years ago. He's really turned things around for his career, and he's been, by all accounts, a really phenomenal offensive line coach for the 49ers. And when you have three new starters on your offensive line, and that unit was one of the big worries coming into the year for the 49ers, that has not been a problem at all. I think kudos to the offensive line coach, and clearly Kyle Shanahan's pretty good at identifying and developing coaches underneath him, because, wow, it seems like the coaching staff is always really good, even after they lose so many assistants every single year. Chris Forster's done a good job. Aaron Banks couldn't get on the field last year as a rookie, but he changed his body. Credit to him for working hard. He's been really good, just really solid at left guard. Spencer Burford at right guard, and then Daniel Brunskill, who's the veteran that can kind of play a little bit everywhere, has been awesome as well. And then you got journeyman center Jake Brendle, who's been solid. So, look, this is a big test because they've got a lot of big guys on the interior of the defensive line for the Eagles, but man, I can't say enough about how good of a job the 49ers offensive line has done. And then, of course, you got the best left tackle in the game in Trent Williams.
And lastly, you know, I always tell people I've been betting games since elementary school. And I can't develop a lean here. I mean, I'm a North Jersey guy. I had to live in Philly for 2 years, so my contempt for Eagle fans has no boundaries. But if you had to kind of paint the picture, Brian, what has to happen Sunday to punch San Francisco's ticket to the Super Bowl?
Well, it's really easy to say, but it's really important every single week and every single game in the NFL. It's turnovers, and the 49ers are undefeated when they're either tied or ahead in the turnover column. And so that's going to be huge once again. You can't make big mistakes on this stage because the teams are so evenly matched. I would say trying as much as possible to keep Jalen Hurts in the pocket will benefit the 49ers. And the 49ers are so good against the run. And I think the number is there was 262 rushers for 70 yards or more this season, and the 49ers allowed zero of those.
Wow.
So the 49ers are really good against the run, especially when it's running backs. And then if you become one-dimensional, then they can come after you in the pocket, and that's just not quite where Jalen Hurts shines, even though he's come a long way, and he's a pretty good quarterback and pretty good passer. But if he has to come from behind strictly from the pocket, even with his good receivers, I think that's exactly where the 49ers want to be. So I think the team possibly that gets the lead early is the big favorite to sort of lean on the running game in the second half. And so if the 49ers can do that, I think they'll be in really good shape. But the Eagles haven't seen a defense like this. And this is going to be a big challenge for them on offense. And I like the way the 49ers stop the run. I like the way the 49ers get after the quarterback. And look, even rookie Brock Purdy, Jalen Hurts has to win against the 49ers to tie Brock Purdy in career playoff wins. So Brock Purdy's a battle-tested guy. He played a lot in college. And by the way, the last time Purdy and Jalen Hurts played, there was even more people in the stands, more hostile environment for Brock Purdy at Oklahoma when they dueled to a 42-41 game with a two-point conversion attempt by Brock Purdy coming incomplete at the last second, or else Brock Purdy would have won that one. So hopefully this game's as good as that one was with Iowa State and Oklahoma.
Yeah, hey, as Oregon fans, Brock Purdy beat the Ducks in the 2021 Fiesta Bowl. So, yeah, much documented. Folks, he's Brian Peacock, loading us up with terrific insight and info, counting it down to noon Sunday. He's the host of the Dynamite podcast, Locked on 49ers. Generous enough to find some time to join us on Twitter, use at BD Peacock. Brian, again, great having you. Much appreciated. Be well, and I hope we can talk again down the road.
Yeah, it was fun. Let's do it again.
All right. Take it easy, Brian.